are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock here with you once again. We're going to do a Locked On crossover, not because there's any games coming up for the 49ers or the Broncos, but Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos is going to join me. We're going to break down what we see coming up this weekend in the wild card playoff games and talk about the direction of both teams. The 49ers and Broncos are drafting in the top 10. The Broncos are sitting at pick 5 after a very disappointing season. The Niners actually ended on a high note and are drafting the 9 or 10 spot depending on that coin flip with the Raiders. But I want to talk to him about what he thinks about the quarterback position with the Broncos. And then, of course, we're going to get into all the playoff action this weekend. A reminder to hit me up via Twitter at BDPeacock. We're going to keep mailbags going all offseason long here on Locked On 49ers. You can hit me via email as well, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We're keeping content coming for you at LockedOn49ers.com. Myself, Chris Wilson, and Jesse Ayler are going to have articles on everything involving the 49ers, including free agency, and of course, the draft. And it still rolls for me, man. Draft season is almost as good as the regular season for me, so we're going to keep that going all the way through April. So check out LockedOn49ers.com. And of course, tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. Subscribe, rate, review. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify. We are everywhere. And before I bring Cody on, I want to let you guys know about my bookie. Bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on all the action with my bookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Sign up at mybookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. So that's a wrinkle I haven't heard from any of these sites. And hey, they got a great mobile site as well, so it's easy to bet on the go. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the bowl games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. But don't take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup as well as in-game live betting on all this season's NFL and bowl games as well as a live casino. So all kinds of other games going on at MyBookie. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie. And we're going to take a look at those MyBookie betting lines for those NFL playoff games a little bit later in the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another crossover edition of Locked On Broncos. We're joined by Brian Peacock over there at Locked On 49ers. And I'm excited to have you here today. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Always great to do the crossover pods with folks on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's an awesome network to be a part of. You know, obviously because of the platform to talk to the fans and have these podcasts and do this daily, but to talk to the other hosts as well, some really smart people, and I've enjoyed that interaction. So stoked to do another crossover podcast here.
Absolutely, man. Now, unfortunately for both of us, our teams are out of the playoffs, man. It's playoff weekend in the National Football League, and sadly, we're on the outside looking in. But I tell you what, going through just based on a Broncos perspective, I see all the Broncos ties within the 49ers organization. I can't say, you know, I'm excited. You know, I thought last year, honestly, that the 49ers had the best draft possible for them. I thought they did a phenomenal job. They were very smart, and they actually really kind of made Chicago paranoid to where Chicago gave up a lot, and San Francisco gained quite a bit there. And then obviously getting Jimmy Garoppolo, and finally when he got plugged in, the 49ers look good, man. I'm excited. So based on, you know, just the season, obviously, for the Denver Broncos, it was crazy. It was a roller coaster, and I'd say it ended probably more negatively for the Broncos, but I think the 49ers finished on an absolutely positive note. Jimmy Garoppolo ran the table in the National Football League since starting. Now, a lot of people are talking about, well, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo should have, you know, started a little bit. I think he was getting accustomed to the playbook. What are your thoughts? Because I tell you what, Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers system really impressed me. I was impressed with his poise, his leadership. I, you know, watching the NFL mic'd up, his leadership is, you could tell he's been listening to Tom Brady. He's been in those meeting rooms with Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, and I think that benefited him a lot. So what are your takes on the 49ers this season?
Yeah, the Garoppolo stuff was crazy. It was just amazing how you drop one player in on a team and suddenly everything changed across the board. playmakers were making plays all of a sudden. The offensive line was looking better because Garoppolo was getting the ball out sooner. The defense was on the field less, so they were playing better. And that confidence, that leadership you mentioned has been unreal. That turning point episode where you see him coaching up guys on the sideline talking about the game-winning drive and then going out and doing it, that's unreal. So the 49ers definitely have a good one in Jimmy Garoppolo. And, yeah, you mentioned it from the top down. And some of those guys with ties to the Broncos organization, John Lynch was there in a certain role for a short time looking at things as almost like an intern. And then, of course, Adam Peters was with the Broncos as well. And he's been fantastic. They've been really a great match at the top of the organization and the scouting department. So excited for things to come. The rookie class has been awesome. And really just I can't imagine any 49ers fan would have realized or could have thought that the season could have ended with such a positive vibe and so much momentum going into 2018 based on the first 9 weeks of the season going 0-9 and to win 6 out of 7 games. It's been unreal. And the head coach is in place, the GM and the organizational, you know, that structure is in place. And you got your franchise quarterback and some young talent to build on. So there's really no better spot the 49ers could be in. And so I want to ask you, on the flip side, the 49ers didn't expect much going into the season, I don't think, to be a playoff team, but I think the Broncos did. So what is the vibe in Denver? And what's like, how do you come out of this? Because the Broncos are actually picking ahead of the 49ers in the 2018 draft, which is something I didn't think was going to be happening.
Hey, man, I don't think anybody on the Denver side of things really expected things to go the way they did. Now, the Denver Broncos started off pretty hot, and they were one of the most talked about teams in the National Football League for the first 3 weeks, starting off the first 3 weeks before their week 4 bye, 3-1. You know, a big win on against the Chargers on Monday Night Football season opener, and then an absolute thrashing of the Dallas Cowboys, who a lot of people thought would be pretty talented, pretty loaded this year. They had Ezekiel Elliott. They were at full strength, and Denver just completely dismantled them. People were starting to talk about, well, you might as well extend Trevor Siemian midseason, give him a contract extension now, and this Denver Broncos defense is playing phenomenal. Well, they go into Buffalo, and we started seeing a little bit of the 2016 Denver Broncos a little bit, the kind of the Rick Dennison scheme of things. Now, he was the offensive coordinator this year down there in Buffalo. Well, in 2016, he was Denver's. It was almost like, you know, Rick Dennison told the Buffalo Bills, this is what Trevor Siemian does, and this is how the offense usually is with him there. And the Buffalo Bills defense capitalized on it. And that's where I think most NFL teams started figuring out, okay, this is how we can beat the Denver Broncos and slow down their offense, which was scoring points at the time, 42 points against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Broncos headed into their bye week 3-1. So, you know, you feel pretty confident. You feel like, okay, now you get an extra week off, get some guys healthy. Obviously, you head into a week 5 matchup with the New York Giants, who were completely winless, and in that same week, they lost every single wide receiver on their roster primarily. So in this game, you're talking about, you know, a lot of people in Denver are like, well, Ben McAdoo is going to get fired during halftime of the Denver Broncos game because the Broncos are going to roll over the Giants. Well, that didn't happen. It was the complete opposite. The Denver Broncos started their free fall there. That's when their 8-game skid began, and not a lot of people really expected that to happen. Now, I would get it. The frustration with Broncos fans right now and people across Broncos country is competitiveness. I look at the 49ers this year. There were a lot of games that they lost that they were competitive in. They were close. It was 3-point difference or a 6-point difference to a 10-point difference compared to the Broncos, where you lose by 21, 25, 16, 18. You're just losing by, you know, double digits and multiple games in a row. There was no competitive nature there. Now, a lot of it, you can put a lot of blame on the Broncos' struggles on the offensive side of the ball. The Denver Broncos defense finished number 3 overall in the National Football League, which is completely surprising if you go back and you look at, obviously, the scores and obviously the 5-11 record. You wouldn't expect a team with a defense like that to be successful or obviously be tops in the NFL. Now, the Denver Broncos weren't put in a lot of positions to succeed due to special teams. You know, the Broncos just fired 6 coaches, Brock Olovo being one of them, and obviously some long-time veteran position coaches, Tyke Tolbert, wide receivers coach, and Eric Studisville, a big name who's interviewing for the New York Giants head job. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if none of those guys get a head coaching job anywhere. I don't think Tyke Tolbert will, but Eric Studisville, I think, why not? John Lynch might reach out to some of those guys in some kind of different facet. You never know in the National Football League, but the Denver Broncos are going through what we call a culture change here, and unfortunately, you're having a lot of blowback for people buying into the culture based on, you know, Vance Joseph. A lot of people have lost their trust in head coach Vance Joseph due to his comments weekly in the media. He says one thing and then it's completely contradicted based on how a game result goes. And a lot of people in the media especially have become frustrated with Vance Joseph. It's definitely something I haven't seen in a long time. He's a first-year head coach. I just wrote a column saying, you know, we need to approach this second year with some optimism. You never know. It could be. You know, they cited that the position rooms needed a culture change. Well, at that point, I felt the Denver Broncos may have some upside. You just never know in the National Football League. But obviously losing most of the games, you know, finishing 5-11. The last time the Denver Broncos had a top five pick, they picked up Von Miller in the NFL draft. And that was the start of John Elway's career as an executive. So I'm looking forward to, obviously, who the Denver Broncos pick up at number five. And I actually just pitched the idea. I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos and the Niners do some kind of deal during the NFL draft, maybe not the first round, but maybe the second round, because of the ties with John Lynch, John Elway. I'm sure John Lynch has gotten a lot of advice from John Elway stepping into that executive general manager type role. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some business dealings or some, you know, draft day moves between these two teams. You know, I just Denver Broncos got to get back to the competitive nature. They still have an all-pro, Super Bowl contending type defense. They have a lot of talented players. They just didn't utilize it. Now, the surprising thing, and I'm, you know, this is the part where I'm talking about things ending, you know, negative on the season, obviously losing to Kansas City. But there were reports week 17, as the Broncos were playing the Chiefs, and even before that, that Vance Joseph was on his way out the door. Now, apparently John Elway had second thoughts, and a lot of it was due to the media. In the media, when the players were talking to the media, players were saying that, you know, Vance Joseph doesn't deserve to get fired. It's not Vance Joseph's fault. It's the players' fault. And in a point, you know, I get what the players have got to play. But at the end of the day, it's all about leadership. Who's leading the team? And I don't think Vance Joseph did a very good job. Now, I'm willing to give him a second chance. But his leash with me is obviously short. And obviously, I hope the Broncos open up 2018 in the season, obviously addressing the quarterback and offensive line position. What areas of need do the 49ers need to address, obviously, heading into 2018, especially on a positive note that they ended it on? What could they improve at overall position-wise, coaching-wise, or talent-wise?
Well, it was supposed to be the offseason of the quarterback for the 49ers, and it still is for a lot of teams, possibly the Broncos included. But now that they've got their quarterback in place, it's going to be the offseason of building around the quarterback, I think. The offensive line, particularly the interior offensive line, is going to be a huge spot for the 49ers to go after, both in free agency and the draft, and more playmakers. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo made the playmakers the 49ers had look better, but I think still they need to add more talent to that side of the ball. So depending on if Carlos Hyde walks, you're going to see another running back get drafted to compete there. And I think there's a good chance they go either big money free agent or, you know, at least in the first two, three rounds, possibly in the first round, and go wide receiver in the draft as well. So offensive line and wide receiver on offense are the two major pieces. And then on defense, I think third downs is going to be a little bit of the focus there, because they were really good against the run after being the worst in the NFL last year. They shaved a full yard per carry off of teams' running offenses. So the 49ers defense up the middle is pretty strong. They're good at safety. They got Reuben Foster there at linebacker, who looks like an all-pro if he can stay healthy, and they're strong inside on defense. I think what they need is another corner that starts across from rookie Akella Witherspoon, who played really well in the second half of his rookie year after he took some time to develop. He wasn't quite ready coming out of Colorado, and then all of a sudden he was just like the switch flipped and he was ready to go there. So he's one of the starters, so they need another starting corner, and they need some edge rushers that can get after the quarterback and help the team get off the field on third downs. And then that defense, it looks like it's pretty well stocked going forward if they can add a couple pieces there. And then, yeah, so offensively, it's all about Garoppolo and building around him. And talking about quarterbacks, do you think, is that something that the Broncos would do at the fifth pick in the draft? Because, you know, there's a lot of names thrown out there that could be first-round caliber guys. Right now, you're looking at Simeon, Lynch, and Osweiler. The Broncos got to be looking for an upgrade, or are they looking for throwing a lot of money for the security of a veteran of, say, like a Kirk Cousins in the offseason?
You know, that's a very good question. Now, John Elway had his end-of-the-year press conference yesterday, and he said in order for us to be a better football team, we have to be better at the quarterback position. Now, Trevor Siemian Paxton Lynch, they haven't got the job done. Obviously, Paxton Lynch being a gamble, they moved up in the draft in 2016 just to pick him up, and he's only seen four career starts in his entire career. He struggled to stay healthy. That's a big part. He's hasn't learned the playbook. He hasn't been able to beat out seventh-round draft pick Trevor Siemian out of Northwestern 2 years in a row. So a lot of people are looking at that as, well, Paxton Lynch probably isn't the guy for the Denver Broncos. He has flashes. He has athletic ability, but the problem is, the Denver Broncos right now don't have an offensive line that can keep him totally upright, specifically at the right tackle position. I look for Denver to address right tackle in a big way during free agency. But if not, there are some pretty big name guys that play at the offensive line position at tackle. Now, I envision the Broncos will move Ron Leary to left guard this offseason to help out rookie left tackle Garrett Bowles heading into his second year. You have Matt Paradise at center. He's an all-pro. And then, obviously, Connor McGovern's a guy who stepped in at right guard this year. And, you know, especially when Ron Leary went out and helped out tremendously, very aggressive, gets to the second level. Denver's main struggle is at right tackle. That's where teams love to attack. And when you're in the AFC West in a division that's full of pass rushers, you have to have a very good right tackle. So that's an area Denver has to improve. Now, for the quarterback position, my bold prediction is that Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler won't be on the roster next season for the Denver Broncos. I think that they do take a player at number five. This is my formula. I think the Broncos obviously should do whatever they can to get a guy like Kirk Cousins, a guy who's a veteran. He's got the it factor. What the Denver Broncos lack a lot of just basic quality quarterback plays is obviously quarterback IQ. Kirk Cousins has that. He gives the Denver Broncos the best chance to win. And the Denver Broncos saw that, honestly, when they played against the Redskins. I watched the Redskins. They were depleted on the offensive line at the skill position offensively. And the difference maker in that game was Kirk Cousins. His ability to get the ball out to attack the zone coverage where the Broncos were playing, that's what makes a smart NFL quarterback. And he had a lot of success against the Broncos secondary, against Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib, Bradley Roby, Darian Stewart, Justin Simmons, and Will Parks. A very talented secondary that the Denver Broncos really have. And the main issue that we've run into is lack of talent, lack of consistency at the quarterback position. Now, Bill Musgrave is going to get a full year this offseason heading into 2018 to implement his system. Now, if a lot of people out there, if they're listening, they don't know who Bill Musgrave is. Bill Musgrave last year was the offensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders in a year where Derek Carr was a legitimate MVP candidate before breaking his leg. Derek Carr had his best year. They decided to go with a high school wide receivers coach as their offensive coordinator. Derek Carr had one of his worst years yet for the Oakland Raiders. Now, I'd say there's a little bit of a system process there. And so if you get Kirk Cousins in a system with Bill Musgrave, I think you have a better chance to have great quality quarterback play. But I also think at number five, you draft a quarterback to learn behind Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a solidified NFL veteran right now. You look at how important the quarterback play has been in the National Football League this year. The formula used to be you have to have a good defense in order to win a championship. Well, you have to have a good defense and a very solid quarterback now, in my honest opinion, to make some success and make some waves in the playoffs as well as the Super Bowl. So I think they go for Kirk Cousins. They find a way to throw money at him. You know, Joe Ellis said they're going to look for many ways to spend their money this offseason, as well as take a guy at number five. Now, a guy that I'm told is on the radar for the Denver Broncos is Baker Mayfield. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, he's too short. Well, you know, standing on your tippy toes, you can see over, the line of scrimmage a little bit. You can see the 2-inch difference that you need. Now, you know, I think Baker Mayfield's a very prolific player. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, the Broncos aren't going to run a read option. No, they're not. They're going to stay out of shotgun. And Baker Mayfield can run a shotgun-style offense. He has the dynamic ability, the athleticism. And a lot of people like to try to compare him to Johnny Manziel or Tim Tebow. I don't think you can. We live in an era where we compare prolific players to other prolific players that once were in college, and you can't quite put a name on how they're going to translate to the NFL yet. Now look at Carson Wentz, for example, down there in Philadelphia. He evolved over a year. The offense that the Philadelphia Eagles had this year was absolutely prolific before he got hurt, and they're still a considerable threat in the NFC without Carson Wentz because they have a guy by the name of Nick Foles who's had a lot of success down there. I just think there's a lot of areas. You know, Baker Mayfield's a possibility. Darnold out of USC is a possibility if he decides to declare. But a lot of people are saying, well, you know, why not take a look at Josh Allen out of Wyoming? Well, Josh Allen out of Wyoming, in my honest opinion, is he's a tall quarterback. He's athletic. But when you go back and you watch his games, you don't see a lot of the it factors that you'd like to see for a quarterback in the National Football League. In my opinion, he's a very risky pick. He's a Brock Osweiler type pick, and I'm just not sure it would work out, and I wouldn't be happy if the Broncos chose him at number five. So I think you have to go with the prolific guy, best player available, in Baker Mayfield at quarterback or Darnold. A lot of people are looking at Darnold's performance against Ohio State in their bowl game, and you know what? He struggled. Darnold's supporting cast all around him, they were lacking a lot of areas, and I'm sure you know a lot about the Trojans over there because you live in the area. So who do you think, in your honest opinion, would be a better pickup for the Denver Broncos that is draft ready if the Broncos don't get a free agent guy in Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. Excuse me. First of all, I think you're right. With you make the calls and you see if you can do something with the veteran Kirk Cousins. But if you have to go to the draft, to me, I'm so glad the 49ers now are out of this position where they have to make that call, because this time last year, everyone's like, oh, wait to 2018. It's going to be this amazing quarterback class. And now we're starting to see that maybe, it's a good quarterback class still. There's a lot of good names there, but it's not the slam dunk class that maybe you thought you had coming in. But I like Darnold. It's hard for me to say that I think he's going to be worth the top five pick. I think Josh Rosen is going to be the first quarterback taken. I think he looks like the most pro ready, but I think he's more on the level of like an Eli Manning, solid pocket passer, but I don't know if he's a guy that's going to be a transcendent talent at quarterback in the NFL. Baker Mayfield, it's tough because of the size limitations and the way he played in his offense. And he it wasn't like, three-step drop, ball comes out. It was like a playmaking style, and he's going to get all those comparisons to Russell Wilson and Johnny Manziel and all the other short quarterbacks, but it's the NFL just hates short quarterbacks. And I just heard, I don't remember who reported it. Somebody, I think it was Peter King maybe reported that Dorsey, the GM, new GM from the Browns, likes Josh Allen as the number one quarterback in the draft. Which,
yep, like, I read that.
Yeah, like you, I think that's crazy. He just did not play well enough. And he has the classic bust factor traits, right? Because he's tall, he's got the cannon arm, he's really athletic for his size, but the results aren't there. So that's going to be fascinating for me to watch how this whole thing shakes out at quarterback, because you got Mayfield, who doesn't have the size, doesn't have necessarily cannon arm, although he's got a pretty good arm, and he's the playmaking college-style quarterback, and I think Josh Allen's going to go well ahead of Baker Mayfield, and I think Baker Mayfield's going to still be sitting there probably late in the first round and maybe even fall to the second round. It's just the way the NFL goes, and fans are going to be pulling their hair out thinking, how could you draft this worst player over Baker Mayfield? And it's going to be really interesting to see. And NFL personnel guys, I've just been following the draft for too long, they're going to love the big, strong, strapping guys where they shake their hand and the handshake hurts their hand when they shake it at the combine, and they can sling the ball everywhere. And then there's the X factor in Lamar Jackson, who's like, these guys are all going to look pedestrian next to him at the combine. So I think he's got a lot of ground to gain, and I think he's going to be in the conversation. And when they're all sitting there in shorts at the combine, throwing next to each other and running around next to each other, guys like Josh Allen and guys like Lamar Jackson are going to rise, and someone like Baker Mayfield is going to fall. So that's the way I see it ending up. And I would actually be very surprised if Baker Mayfield goes as high as the top 10 or even to number 5 with the Broncos, even though I think he'd be a great fit there. So it's going to be really a fun thing for me to watch as a 49ers fan, knowing that the 49ers don't have to make that tough call on a quarterback at the top of the draft, and see how these guys all shake out in late April.
Absolutely, man. I like your point there, especially with the draft. The combine is going to be very interesting. We get to see a lot of on-field stuff with these quarterbacks, obviously with some talented players. You get to see their 40-yard dash, and for wide receivers, you get to see the catching drills. But I think the quarterback, when you're standing next to guys and you're competing, I think that fuels competition. And you're going to see, like you said, those underdog guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, compared to some of the big prolific name guys that are being talked to going in the top 10 or the top 15 in the NFL draft, a quarterback, those guys – that's where complacency starts to build in a little bit. A lot of these guys have been, listening to ESPN. They've been seeing their name. They've been seeing, a lot of people talk them up. And so they're just going to come out and do what they do. But you're going to have these guys that have something to prove. And there's been a lot of talk of Lamar Jackson being approached by NFL scouts to convert to wide receiver. And I don't know how I feel about that yet. But I think Lamar Jackson is definitely a prolific type of guy. You know, we've seen the evolution, how those types of players can thrive in the National Football League this year. Carson Wentz, for example. Deshaun Watson is my key guy outside of a Russell Wilson that has been able to run a college-style offense and have success. Now, Deshaun Watson, nobody thought that the Texans this year were going to be as, you know, I think they went downhill as soon as Watson got hurt, but they were pretty darn good looking when Watson was there, and I think that's a big indicator. Obviously, you have to have a personnel system, you know, especially with the state of the National Football League, where it's a pass rush university now. Pass rushers are starting to evolve in many different shapes, forms, and sizes, and you have to compete against that. So, especially against, you know, strong defenses, good defense coordinators, which brings me to my next point of the playoffs. There's a lot of definitely good defenses heading into the playoffs here, but I just think the NFL is evolving, and obviously general managers, head coaches, and staff and personnel, they have to do a very good job of looking at how it's evolving and how they can be part of that change. Each year we see some kind of evolution in the NFL, so I'm eager to see what we're going to see in 2018, especially with the draft class of quarterbacks that are heading into the draft this year. So let's jump to the playoff talk,
yeah,
man.
Quick, before we get to the playoffs, I just want to say one thing about Bill Musgrave that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
He has a ring with the 49ers, so third-string quarterback behind Steve Young and Elvis Gerbach. And,
how amazing is that?
So,
That's amazing.
49ers fans are somewhat familiar with Bill Musgrave, even though they probably didn't even get to see him play much. And then obviously being in the Bay Area when he was a coordinator over there for the Oakland Raiders. But yeah, Bill Musgrave's got a spot in my heart. He was somebody I was eyeing when Chip Kelly was getting hired. I was hoping they were going to hire Bill Musgrave as offensive coordinator for the 49ers a couple off seasons ago.
Yeah, you know what? The crazy thing about Bill Musgrave here is, too, is he went to high school at Grand Junction High School and here in Grand Junction, Colorado, where I live, where I actually coach high school football. He's a Golden Helmet winner for the Denver Post. He had a very amazing high school career down here in Colorado. Now, a lot of people, when he got to the NFL, he didn't really have a lot of the intangibles, you know, the big play, the big arm, the cannon. But the key statistic about Bill Musgrave, which is why I think he's had a lot of success in the National Football League as a coordinator, is he's very cerebral. He's, you know, guys I've talked to that played with him when they won the state championship said he wasn't the flashiest player, but he was the smartest guy. He knew how to read defenses. He knew what defenses were going to do to adjust to him, and he made them pay for it. And so I think that's definitely something I look forward to seeing with Bill Musgrave. Not a lot of people really understand that about Bill Musgrave. So the fact that you know about Bill Musgrave, that's amazing, man. I love it.
Absolutely
love it.
And bonus for Bill Musgrave, he's obviously a student of the West Coast offense, coming from, you know, being in Denver, being in San Francisco, but also he was a quarterback's coach behind Chip Kelly in Philly before he moved over to being an offensive coordinator elsewhere. And so he's got background of knowing the West Coast offense, knowing pro-style offenses, but working in the up-tempo stuff, working in some zone read stuff too. So he's got familiarity with a lot of different things that he can utilize in the NFL, which I think is a pretty powerful thing for an offensive coordinator right now.
Heck, under Musgrave, Nick Foles threw an NFL record 7 touchdowns in a single game.
Yes.
So that's definitely something I don't think a lot of people really understand. And Derek Carr, like I said, he had his best year under Bill Musgrave. And when Bill Musgrave left, he reverted. He really struggled. You know, and we thought the Raiders were going to be a very special team going forward. They just fired their head coach, Jack Del Rio. So he's a guy that's out of a job there, especially close to the Bay Area. So it's amazing how the NFL plays out sometimes. We know it's a ruthless business.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, business is booming, especially for some of these teams in the playoff. We have wild card round weekend here in the National Football League. Some key matchups. I said it earlier, my favorite matchup that I look forward to watching is the Falcons and Rams. What's yours out of, obviously, the 8 teams that are playing?
You know, I'm really interested to see that one as well, just being NFC West here with the Rams and seeing how the 49ers handled the Rams so easily while they were resting some key players. So I think the Rams, talent-wise, really, you see how much they rely on Goff and Gurley and Aaron Donald, because without those guys, that was a pretty weak and pretty pedestrian football team. So, and the 49ers handled them like too easy almost last week, week 17 of the NFL regular season. But I want to see how they look against a playoff team, a team that went to the Super Bowl last year in the Atlanta Falcons, and the Rams obviously have a home game there. So that's going to be an interesting one for me, absolutely. But I think for myself and a lot of 49ers fans, there's still some fond feelings for Alex Smith. So I'm looking at that early Saturday game with the Titans at the Chiefs, and I think a lot of 49ers fans are rooting for Alex Smith to get his due and get his rings. It seems like a lot of people now even want to push him out over there in Kansas City and get to the young guy in Pat Mahomes at quarterback. And I want to see him win some playoff games with the Chiefs. So I'm interested in both of those Saturday games.
Well, Alex Smith has had his best year, you know, as an NFL pro, in my honest opinion, in Kansas City this year. He's had a lot of great throws, and obviously they rested a lot of their starters against the Broncos week 17. But when I look at the Titans, man, I look at a team that I'm like, God, you know, this team doesn't seem like an exciting playoff team to be in there. Mariota struggled a lot this year. Now I think, you know, obviously having weapons like Eric Decker and obviously Wesley Woodyard, a former Denver Broncos, a key guy on their defense. But when I look at the Titans-Chiefs matchup, especially heading into Kansas City, I just don't see any way that the Titans come out and win this game unless they can really utilize their run game with Derrick Henry and DeMarco, you know, DeMarco Murray, who's got an MCL tear. DeMarco Murray has said, you know, he's reported to be ready to play in this game. He's going to play through the pain. But, man, I tell you what, Derrick Henry's had a phenomenal two-week, three-week stretch in his absence, and he's played really well. He's going to be a wild card, especially against a Chiefs defense that gives up a lot of big plays. I think this is going to be an interesting matchup, but it's not the most exciting matchup, but definitely, you know, a lot of people, especially Broncos fans, are, you know, they're rooting against the Chiefs. You know, yeah. There was an article that was posted by, you know, a Chiefs blog site talking about how it's, you know, Chiefs fans need to appreciate how bad the Broncos are right now. And it's at that point, I'm like, man, that's low. That's very low.
That's cold.
You know, I would hope that, you know, in the playoffs, if, you know, they weren't in it, that they would root for the Broncos win just so they say, you know what, the AFC West is the best division in football. But that's not the case. So good luck to the Chiefs, though. You know, I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. Hopefully Marcus Mariota can do a lot of good things. Obviously, this is his first playoff game in the National Football League, so that's a big one on the road. Last time these teams played in Kansas City, the Titans won on a field goal. So, man. It's going to be interesting, wild card. That's the Saturday round of games, obviously. Titans, Chiefs, Falcons, Rams. That's going to be very interesting. Wade Phillips, first-year head coach in obviously, Los Angeles, and Sean McVay. He's a guy who's really impressed me big time. Didn't expect that from him. But Wade Phillips being a smart defensive mind, obviously, with the defense that the Rams have, they have a lot of talent there. So Wade Phillips, he's a very smart football mind. He's going to have to game plan against Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Mohamed Sanu, and obviously the two-headed combination of Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. That's going to be something that we have to look at. That could be a very high-scoring game, honestly, so I look forward to that game. Sunday, we have the Bills and the Jaguars and the Panthers and Saints. Now, the most intriguing matchup between the two, Panthers and Saints, yeah. Obviously, mm-hmm. is the sexy matchup. Now, the Bills got very lucky last week. They had a lot of help from the Cincinnati Bengals in order to get into the playoffs, and they should be thanking the Bengals and Andy Dalton. So they've actually opened up their pocketbooks, and there was actually something I seen yesterday where, you know, they're sending in donations to Andy Dalton because of it. So yeah. that's insane. But Jaguars, another surprise team. Now, for the last 2 years, I felt like when we've looked at the Jaguars on paper, we're like, man, they have a very good roster. They didn't translate that into success last year, but this year they've had a lot of success, and a lot of it rides off of their defense and their defense's ability to score points. And it's crazy to see the secondary that they have going up against the Bills, who I think are undermatched in this one. They have Tyrod Taylor, obviously LeSean McCoy, who just went down with an ankle injury, and that's just unfortunate. So heading into a wild card, I just don't see them going on the road and beating the Jaguars here. But give me your thoughts on the Panthers and Saints. Cam Newton versus Drew Brees, obviously a wild card in this game is Alvin Kamara, who in my opinion is the rookie of the year in the National Football League. He's explosive, man, and this matchup is very intriguing. What are your thoughts on these two matchups on Sunday?
Yeah, Alvin Kamara actually was drafted with the pick that the Saints acquired from the 49ers in the draft last year, and so the Niners actually have the Saints' second-round pick this year. So Niners fans are rooting for the Saints to lose just to get a little bit higher draft pick there. but I like the Saints, man. I like Drew Brees and the Saints, and they're at home, and that's a really tough dome for other teams to come and play in. So I definitely think the Saints are going to go on and advance over the Carolina Panthers, and I'm interested to see if the Panthers do go out in the first round of the playoffs, how Cam Newton reacts to that in the press conference after the game, if he even shows up for the press conference there, because some very interesting thoughts, because some people are all about Cam Newton and love Cam Newton. He's obviously such a talented player, but his act is sort of wearing thin over there. It's a very interesting dynamic, and I feel like that Carolina Panthers team is always teetering on being just great and disaster. And we've seen that from going to the Super Bowl to being a bad team to being good in the playoffs again. I just don't know what to expect out of that team. But I do expect, like you mentioned, Ingram, Kamara, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, such a high-powered offense. They're hard to beat at home, and so I've got Saints for sure in that game. Jacksonville is an interesting one for me because I think they're too good to lose this first-round game, but I think the Jags eventually in the playoffs are going to stall out and not go far enough because I just don't think Blake Bortles is the guy that can take them to the promised land, but that defense is so good. One thing that's interesting, mentioned the Rams earlier rested their starters against the 49ers in Week 17. In Week 16, the Jaguars were at full strength against the 49ers. And the 49ers, as you know, rolled at the end of the season. They rolled over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
And Bortles did not look good in that game. And I think the 49ers offense and Kyle Shanahan might have given some playoff teams a recipe for success against the Jacksonville defense. And that is attack the middle of the field in the passing game because their corners in A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey are so good on the outside. Attack the middle of the field against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what the 49ers did and had a lot of success there. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think the Bills are good enough to utilize that, but I think eventually probably round two of the playoffs is where the Jacksonville Jaguars falter. I'm looking at the MyBookie lines on all these games right now, and all of the home teams are favored by at least a touchdown here. And I think if I was a betting man and betting against, and I think all four home teams should be favored, so I would pick them straight up. That is the Chiefs, the Rams, Jaguars, and Saints to win. But looking at these lines, some of them are very big, and I think these playoff games are just going to be too close. Rams are favored by 6.5 points. Kansas City's favored by 9 points. I might take the underdog in both of those games just because of how big some of these lines are. The Jaguars are favored by 9, and if that's, you know, a defensive slugfest, then that's a game that could be closer than, you know, a touchdown and a field goal. And then the Saints are favored by 7. That's maybe the one home team I would pick just because I really like the Saints over the Panthers there. How do you like those against the lines?
Man, I tell you what, I would say if I was a betting man, especially in the Rams game, I might take the Falcons, especially as the underdog in that game. You just never know with a guy like Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. You know, unfortunately, the Rams are hurting. Obviously, their number one cornerback is on injured reserve with a torn Achilles, and Kayvon Webster, former Denver Bronco, he was their number one corner this year. He's down, but they have a lot of young, impressive rookies and some young guys, some sophomore guys at the cornerback position. I just think that if I had to bet on this, looking back at how the Broncos played the Falcons last year, I would have to say, especially against Wade Phillips and the Denver defense, you know, I would think that maybe Dan Quinn might have a little bit of a formula right now for how to attack the Rams. You have to get the ball out quick. Can't get sacked by, obviously, Aaron Donald. But I would take that game. And obviously, the Saints game, I think, would be a safe one. I just think Alvin Kamara being as prolific as he is in the return game and the run game and obviously out of the backfield as a pass catcher, it's just a little too much for what the Panthers can handle, and Cam Newton's going to have to do a lot in this game. So I would definitely see that as definitely a safe pick as well. So, man, the lines are good, especially, and that's going to be our read tomorrow. So I look forward to, obviously, that as we approach the MyBookie parcel. Absolutely. Definitely, that's been a huge element, man. But heading into, obviously, I'm looking into the second round. You know, based on our predictions, you know, you'd have – I think the NFC right now, in my opinion, might be the favorite to win it in the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, I think – Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to get to the Super Bowl this year. They have an easy road, in my opinion. Everybody has to come through Foxborough mm-hmm. if they want to go to the Super Bowl. So that makes it a lot more difficult for teams like the Titans, the Chiefs, the Bills, or the Jaguars, whoever it may be, to go on the road in Foxborough this time of year where it's extra cold. The weather's not as great. Tom Brady and them are accustomed to it. They just have a lot of weapons offensively, and they're connecting even without Julian Edelman. So it's going to be hard for the AFC to dethrone somebody that's not the New England Patriots. And another guy, obviously, you're going to have to look at. The NFC is going to be the most exciting one. A lot of talk for the Vikings, too, who are heading in there. Could the Vikings be the first team in NFL history to play in a Super Bowl in their town? I don't know. That's crazy. That's definitely a storyline. But obviously, the Eagles without Carson Wentz, I think with Nick Foles, they'll be okay. They struggled against the Raiders. But I think overall, I think the Vikings, the Eagles, the Panthers, the Saints, the Rams, the Falcons, the NFC seems like the evident favorite right now in the National Football League to represent the Super Bowl and obviously win it and have a chance to dethrone either the Steelers or the Patriots this year. I just don't see any of these other teams right now in the wild card round for the AFC playoffs to make it and represent the Super Bowl. It's just that's the hard part. But you know what? The NFL is surprising. We could see a team like Kansas City go there. We could see the Jaguars go there. You know, you just never know in the National Football League, right, unfortunately. But all odds point to the Patriots being the representative once again. So Man.
Yeah, I totally agree there. It's a crapshoot. A lot of good teams in the NFC, and then I don't see anybody knocking off the Patriots. And it's going into every season, you just put the Patriots, pencil them in there, and it's amazing that run that they're going on, and it looks like it could continue this season. Let me run this past you before we wrap it up here. On Twitter, I talked about this reference with the NFL and the NBA, and see if you agree with me on this. I think the NFC is setting up to be almost like the Western Conference is in the NBA, where the title goes through all these great teams, and there's so many good teams in the NFC, and all the young quarterbacks now seem to be getting stacked on this one conference, where you got now Garoppolo with the 49ers, hopefully reaches that upper echelon of quarterbacks, and you got Goff and Wentz and all these young players. Aaron Rodgers is already there, obviously, and it's so much competition over there and so many good teams and so many good players going forward, it looks like. And then you've got the Patriots and Tom Brady, who's like the LeBron, and he's just got that cakewalk every year in the Eastern Conference. Yep. And I look at that as the AFC right now, especially with some other teams tumbling that were the main competition for the Patriots and Tom Brady. Do you like that comparison?
I actually think that's a very valid comparison, honestly, because the Western Conference, man, for years has been absolutely dominant. The NFC is looking like the Western Conference in the NBA right now. They have a lot of teams. You know, the seeding was very close. A lot of these teams, I mean, just look at it here. You had one division that has three playoff representatives. You have the Panthers, Saints, and the Falcons, all in the same division, essentially, and they're all in the playoffs. That speaks volumes for a lot of things there. And obviously, looking at the Rams, you have the Rams in there. That division there, the NFC West, I think is going to be a battle in the future between the Rams and the 49ers. As you know, right now, I think the Seahawks are kind of falling back a little bit. But that's a very good comparison, man. I like kind of combining the best of both worlds. And obviously on the AFC side, like you said, Tom Brady is LeBron James. He's the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yep. They sit atop at the one seed all year, and nobody really challenges them. So I think that's a pretty good comparison, man. I actually look forward to that. So,
yeah, hopefully the 49ers can become the Warriors of the Western Conference and be that team that's at the top every year.
Hey, the Bay Area formula.
Yeah, absolutely. Need to add some more talent for sure. But 49ers fans are so pumped that they got their quarterback in place. So it's going to be a fun one. And hey, I've always had an affinity for the Broncos. There's always been a little connection there with the Niners and the Broncos. And so I've always rooted for them in the AFC side of things. And so hopefully the Broncos can find their quarterback as well and be right back in the Super Bowl like they were a couple years ago.
Hey, that's my hope, man. And obviously I think we'll see you guys in the preseason as well. We always like to combine joint practices now due to the connection with John Elway and obviously John Lynch. So I think that's definitely something I look forward to. Actually, a good friend of mine who's a former Denver Broncos safety, he was actually a coaching intern for the 49ers during training camp, Nick Ferguson. He was down there in San Francisco as an assistant intern coach during the offseason.
Oh, wow.
So he joins me here on Locked On Broncos a lot. We talked about that. He's very impressed with the direction that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are taking the franchise. And he had a lot of great things to say about how the organization was run, obviously. And he was on the sideline when the Broncos and the Niners played each other in preseason this preseason. So definitely that's exciting, man. I look forward to obviously looking forward and seeing how the 49ers do. Definitely going to follow them a lot as the offseason progresses because of John Lynch and obviously some former Broncos ties. They're definitely an exciting team up and coming in the NFC. I look forward to it, man, and I appreciate you taking the time to jump on here and talk about, obviously, 49ers, Broncos, and all things regarding the NFL playoffs, man. It was very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure to join you here. I always love these Locked On crossover episodes, and I apologize. My voice is kind of dying on me. I work in radio, and I work 7 days straight and helped out covering shifts and the holidays and stuff, so I'm looking forward to just sitting down, resting my voice, and watching some football this weekend before I go back to work, and so trying to power through with my voice, doing the podcast every day and doing my regular radio work, but hopefully it's sounding good, and really appreciate talking to you, Cody. It's been fun.
Hey, Brian, I appreciate it a lot. So that's Brian Peacock joining me here, Locked On Broncos, Locked On 49ers crossover show. Catch him over there at Locked On 49ers on the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to Brian as well and what he's got going over there. We'll be sure to talk once again here down the road.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's do that and talk a little bit before the draft, and we might have a little more inkling of where teams are going in the top 10 and how those, you know, how your pick might affect the 49ers pick and so forth, because I think a lot of 49ers fans are hoping. It's hard to, like, put your finger on it. Do you hope that more quarterbacks go in the top 10 before the 49ers, so the Niners get a better player that's a non-quarterback? Or do you hope that that top quarterback is still kind of sitting there, that a team behind you wants to pay a bunch to go up and get him? That's going to be an interesting storyline for the Niners pick at either 9 and 10, depending on that coin flip with the Raiders.
Oh, man. Luck of a coin. You never know. You have a 50-50 shot at that, man. So, Brian, once again, I thank you, man, so for joining me here today, man. I look forward to it, and we'll definitely talk as soon as the draft approaches.
Let's do it. I look forward to it. Thanks, man. All right, that's going to do it for me. Thanks again to Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos for joining me here on Locked On 49ers. A couple of non-playoff teams still getting together to talk ball, so that was fun. And do you guys think he sounds like Adam Schefter a little bit? It kind of hit me halfway through. It was like, okay, that's what he sounds like. His voice sounds a little bit like Adam Schefter. Maybe it's just me. But yeah, thanks again to Cody. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back on Monday and review everything that went down on Wild Card Playoff Weekend, as well as whatever news is happening in 49er land. And I think throughout the offseason, plan on doing about 4 shows per week here. If something happens over the weekend, I might have to do an emergency episode because I want to have everything covered on Locked On 49ers. But I think I also want to try to do a Cover 3 mailbag, just get to 3 questions every single day. So keep those mailbag questions coming in. Anything that pops up in your mind you think you'd like to hear me talk about here on Locked On 49ers, hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock or via email, LockedOn49ers@gmail. And we're going to keep content coming over at LockedOn49ers.com. So got you covered there for free agency and the draft. All right, talk to you guys on Monday right here on Locked On 49ers.